Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, the home of the Red Sox, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Final hour, Jones and Mego with Arkan here on WEEI. We'll get to your phone calls on friendiversaries in a moment. 617-779-7937.
People are being really mean about friendiversaries, and it just tells me that you're not good friends.
You're just not secure enough in your friendships.
Especially the person from the 413 who said that's what funerals are for.
That is how I view my friendships in my life. I'm just trying to win. I'm just trying to win and last on this planet longer.
But so you're trying to outlive your friends?
So I can get there and be like, I won.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, I won. At the end of the day, I'm a king of the mountain.
It sounds like you're trying to kill all your friends.
Yeah, it actually does.
Like you have like a hit list.
You sound like...
You're like, I'll be the last one.
You sound like a cannibal.
Well, I know how much you hate that.
I do.
Two quick Patriots items here in a seamless transition.
Speaking of cannibals.
Andrew Callahan at the Boston Herald, speaking of cannibals. Patriots have signed ex-Broncos/Steelers punter Corliss Waitman. Waitman averaged 46.6 yards per punt last year in Denver. He also had a brief midseason stint on the Pats practice squad in 2021. Don't remember that. But Corliss Waitman, the only Corliss I can think of is Corliss Williamson.
Yeah, Arkansas Razorback.
I didn't realize that was like a name.
Not a good pro, Corliss Williamson.
No, college though.
Great college player.
I feel like kicking... Good. Averaging 46 yards above altitude is not very good.
This is a good point. This is a good sign for our, I was about to say this differently. It wouldn't have sounded as good. Our Razorbacks, our Hogs.
Yeah!
Ryan.
Go Hogs!
Good. It's a good sign for our Hogs tonight.
I'm going to be shirtless tonight.
Corliss is back in the news.
Yep.
We'll be hogging out. So there's that.
At our friendship party.
There's also this detail.
He was on the Pats practice squad a couple years ago.
Listen, what we do at our friendship party.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
None of your business. Yeah.
Oh, did you know he was on the Pats practice squad? Yeah, I just read it.
I did not.
I mean, I definitely didn't know it, but I just read it. Mike Reese also has the Juju Smith-Schuster contract incentives. How do you feel about this? 2023, he can get an extra $750,000 for 950 receiving yards and another $750,000 on top of that for 1,100 receiving yards. Do you think he's getting to either of those? Like, forget 1,100. Do you think he's getting to 950 receiving yards?
I hope he gets to 950 because... Jacoby got past 800 last year, and that was in that awful Matt Patricia offense. So,
how much did Jacoby get in the Josh McDaniels offense?
I don't remember.
Not much, I don't think. So, I mean, 950 feels like the more reasonable number, and I don't care about the bonus there. Like, good for him, but I don't care about, like, the Patriots cap or anything like that. He's not getting to 1,100 yards. So I'd say that's if those incentives being harder to reach just means the Patriots probably feel like they won the deal even more, would be my only point. And it probably drives home the point even more that they just prefer the Smith-Schuster contract to Jacoby Myers' contract. That's all. They probably felt like they won the deal because they're like, he's not going to get 1,100 yards. We're not going to have to pay him. 2024 and 2025, he gets $1 million for 800 receiving yards. That feels potentially there. And another $1 million for 950. Plus $1 million for 1,100 receiving yards in those 2 years. But it seems to me like the Patriots probably feel like they won the deal. I already felt that way about Jacoby Myers. Do they prefer Juju to Jacoby? Probably not. They like the deal better. Before we get back to some audio that we played earlier in the show, I have to get to some of these phone calls.
I don't think this is going to be very nice.
Well, let's see.
I don't think this is going to be a nice segment for me.
Well, let's see how it goes. John's in Longmeadow. Go ahead, John.
Hello?
Hi, John. Mego's instincts might have been right. Go ahead, John.
Hey, so sorry. No, I was just going to bag on Mego's idea a little bit because clearly she doesn't have a lot of childhood friends. I think there'd be a little backbiting at the party with other guys saying, oh, I didn't know they were best friends. I thought we were all pretty tight.
It's not about being best friends. It's not a best friend party. It's about recognizing that you've been friends with somebody for a long time.
No, but
time.
I think he was responding to your comment about how with your, what's her name, the one you played the flute with?
Oh, Hannah.
Yes, I think he was responding to that comment, I think. I mean, I don't know. I think that's what he was responding to there.
Because
you were
all,
like, I am your best friend.
I
you
have
know I'm your
a
best friend.
Lot of childhood friends, just so you know. Just so you know.
Just
and
trust
by
me.
The way,
they just go to different schools.
I got a lot of friends, bro. A lot of friends.
They're not all
you don't know
female
them.
Friends, by the way. I have childhood friends who are guys, and we're still great friends.
So I could have a friendiversary with one of my girlfriends?
Yeah.
No.
Why? That's
no.
nice.
No.
I bet Kat would support it.
No. I can tell
I
you
bet
right,
Kat wouldn't.
I can tell you right now she wouldn't.
It's not like she's wearing a white dress.
A friendiversary with one of my female friends, please.
Well, I guess Arcan and I aren't having a friend-iversary.
And Kat, you're
probably
not. Kat's definitely not invited. let's go to Deuce in Boston. Go ahead, Deuce.
Hey, Mago. Just a quick question for you. Are you just finding a reason to have drinks? Because what are you going to do with these friend-iversaries? Just sit there and look at each other or watch movies or...
What else would you want to do? Yeah, it's an excuse to go get
you
drinks.
Dance.
Yeah, right.
You get a band for the friend-iversary.
Oh, my God. I got to get a band now?
Yeah, you get a live band. All the friends are on the dance floor. It's great.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe you get a
DJ.
Do
you and the friend have to, like, dance in the middle? Like the,
yeah, you make...
like the bride and the
exactly.
dance.
Exactly. Yeah,
first
you,
dance.
You make your own... You make up your own, like, dance move yep. that you do together with your friend. Yep. My friend, Alaska and I, we do one that's like this, where she pretends like she plays a flute, and I pretend like there's a snake coming out of a basket.
Sure. Nice. Yeah. There you go.
Worked a lot in Faneuil Hall in the... in the late aughts.
You bring out, you bring out your dad for the first dance. You know, that sort of thing. Okay.
That's boring.
I'm still not on board, but what are you going to do? 617-779-7937. Let's replay this Devin McCourty audio, because I think it pairs with the news that Joe Judge might be boxing Jerod Mayo out when it comes to being Bill Belichick's right-hand man. We all saw the release from the Patriots, Kraft, earlier this offseason, that Jerod Mayo is going to get a title, and Jerod Mayo was valued very, very highly by the organization. I think we assumed he'd be associate head coach, assistant to Bill Belichick, something like that. He'd get some sort of title like that. And it turns out Joe Judge is going to be getting a title like that. Maybe Mayo could get a better one, although Tom Curran kind of poured water on that idea earlier today that Mayo would get a title. And he hinted that maybe Mayo wouldn't even want a title because it could limit flexibility, which I found interesting because what's he need flexibility for? He's looking to leave now. So... is Judge's title that Burt Breer reported on today, an advisor to Bill Belichick, is that boxing out Jerod Mayo? And then we get Devin McCourty telling this story about Bill's son, Steve Belichick. And he said it to Chris Long in the Green Light podcast. And I think these pair together nicely.
I think the one thing that I've loved about Steve is honesty.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Steve takes over. I forgot who left. I think Pat Graham left. Flo's moving to linebacker coach. And Steve said Bill tells him 2 weeks before the offseason program starts that he's going to be the safety coach.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes in there. Now he's walking in a room. It's me, Pat Chung, Daron Harmon, Nate Ebner. So he's walking in, and we got all these veterans. I'm older than Steve. Pat's older than Steve. He played with Daron, and he's probably like the same age as Nate.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks in there. He goes, yo, I'm be honest with y'all. I don't know what the F I'm doing right now. My dad told me 2 weeks ago that I was even going to have this job. And now I'm just sitting here like, I don't know what's next.
Yeah.
And that first year, we all just worked together. And then now when I look at him, I think his growth has come because of the honesty.
Yeah.
Not coming in saying like, you know, my dad's Bill Belichick. I was born to coach. Like, I'm going to do this. Nah, he came in there and it was like, I'm going to learn from some veterans that I got in this room, take advantage of that opportunity that I get, and I'm going to grow as a coach.
So, quick yes or no. Yes or no, Bill Belichick is a fan of that story being out there today. Mego, yes or no?
No.
Arcan, yes or no?
I would say no, but yes, I also don't think that these sort of stories just get out. But I do say no. It doesn't paint him very well.
I mean, Bill doesn't want this story out about Steve Belichick, that Bill put his kid out there before he's ready. Like, Bill getting accused of it's clearly nepotism, but Bill getting accused of nepotism and his kid looking clueless and not knowing what the F he's doing, Bill does not want this story out there. So we talked yesterday about whether or not Bill has lost the team. Has Bill lost the team? And my case was yesterday, yeah, I think he has, or at least my fear is that he has. Devin McCourty's talking about factions in the locker room. Zappy guys over here, Mac guys over there. Mike Giardi relayed a story about how pissed players were about Jacoby Myers leaving and how they can't wrap their heads around it. And I'm like, man, did they lose the locker room? Did Bill lose the locker room? Has he lost the team? Now I hear McCourty dropping bombs left and right, and he's supposed to be a Bill guy. Has Bill even lost McCourty, Mego? That's what I'm wondering.
Bill hasn't lost McCourty, and I feel like
McCourty... Why is McCourty doing it then? What's the angle?
Because he's a media guy now. He's going into media, and
so many of these guys
and he knows that he actually has to say something. He can't just sit there and hem and haw and talk about how
many of these players do that. So many of these players do that, and they're not all dumb. All the guys out there that have been Patriots aren't all dumb.
He's tread, I think, a little bit more into media before retiring, more so than some other guys have. I also think it's a different climate now for a player who's going into media where you can be more of a, you're encouraged to be more of a personality, to come with a slant, an opinion, whatever it is. And so I feel like Devin's been observing that for a while. He's watched his brother do it with NFL Media or NFL Network or whatever they're calling themselves this week. And so now he is kind of primed to go out there and understands where the line is. Like Flores, who he talks about, is not with the team anymore. Steve Belichick is, but Steve Belichick, I think, is respected enough by the defense now that he knows that saying something like this, it's more of like, oh, it's cute. He didn't know what the F he was doing. And to me, I think it makes Steve Belichick look good, makes Bill Belichick look bad, makes him look like he's making decisions 2 weeks before training camp starts that he's going to throw his kid into this position with a room full of veterans. But the way that he tells it, it works out, and it makes Steve Belichick look very self-aware humble.
At least he's not Patricia and Joe Judge getting
the
in over their heads.
The opposite of Joe Judge.
And not acknowledging it. Fine. Fair. I don't think Bill wants this story out. So why is McCourty doing it, Arkin? Why? Is it just he understands the media game better than some of these ex-Patriots? Because, again, I think some of these ex-Patriots, they get out there, and they don't say anything, and they want to stay in the circle in the warm bosom of Bill Belichick. McCourty doesn't seem to care about that. It's warm. I got to be warm.
It's got to be warm.
And
yeah.
So, like, I
probably
just...
Probably moist, too.
I just think... Or I wonder, anyway, if Bill's even lost McCourty. Is that a fair thing to wonder?
No. Well, yeah, it's a fair thing to wonder, I would say. But if you're asking me what I think this comes from, I think it's a combination of McCourty knowing that Bill's not going to be there that much longer, and also the idea that he can sort of zag a little bit, because there's been other expatriates who have had long media careers who kiss Bill's ass all the time. It's not like it's a career killer, but I think McCourty sort of realizes there's enough guys like that. I can sort of do my own thing here. And
you
he also...
His
twin brother, too. I mean, he's got a twin brother who's doing media, too. You want to be different from him. You want to just sort of stand out in a way. I think McCourty's trying to do that.
Oh,
I think he's doing a good job.
He's doing a great job. Yeah. I hope he keeps doing it. I'm not telling
you.
Why
do you have such a problem with it?
I just guarantee Bill has a problem with it. I'd be shocked. I shouldn't guarantee it. I'd be shocked if Bill likes what McCourty's doing.
Is it possible Devin got a blessing before doing this?
Throwing Bill's kid under the bus? No.
Well,
no.
I mean, does it really throw the kid under or does it throw Bill under?
I don't think it helps that Steve Belichick, there's a quote, like here in New England, if you really want to read between the lines and juxtapose it with Patricia and Joe Judge, fine. You're smarter than most. Most people look at that and go, Bill's kid didn't deserve the job.
I'm just going to take the compliment and say thank you.
Yes, but I'm saying, like, most people aren't going to think about it that much. People are going to say, oh, Bill's kid's a moron who didn't know what he was doing. And that's what most people, Bill doesn't like this story out there. So I can't imagine Bill likes this. And I wonder if it's an example of Bill losing the team. And regardless, these stories, the Joe Judge thing, throwing his kid in there in 2015, you know, where he didn't know anything by his own account. He didn't know anything. Bill's been reckless. Do you trust Bill to do what's right for the team? Because that's what he says. And then he throws out a kid who's not prepared, his own. He throws out his buddies on offense who don't know how to run the offense last year, and Patricia and Judge, Bebop and Rocksteady. Like, Bill's being reckless. He's being reckless. So do you trust him to do what's right for the team these days? I don't. Maybe Devin McCourty doesn't either. 617-779-7937. We'll get to you, and we'll play our favorite answers from Tom Curran. There was a lot there right after.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Trending with Art.
We are back to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Is there a reason for this? Why are we playing this?
I just like this song.
I was going to say, I'm not saying I dislike it. I just didn't know. Am I missing something?
I feel all warm and fuzzy now that we're thinking about friendships and how we should celebrate stuff. I'm getting in the spirit of friendiversaries.
New Englanders are so mean.
Oh, definitely.
Just like the meanest
people. Don't you
kind of
like it, though?
Country.
Are people in Maryland super nice?
Yeah, a lot nicer than up here.
Well, right.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't been living there for a dozen
years. I know plenty of Baltimoreans that would fit in wonderfully up here.
What did you just say?
Did you say Baltimoreans?
Baltimoreans.
Boom, roasted.
If I was from Baltimore, I would be very disgruntled.
Good. If you're from Baltimore, I hope you're offended by that.
First of all, it's pronounced Baltimorean. And there is no second of all.
Going up there.
Second of all, there is no second of all. Yes.
I haven't lived in the D.C. metro area for 12 years?
Yeah.
So I'm a lot meaner now, too.
Are they nice or fake nice?
No, they're nice.
Because, like, the South is fake nice. You agree with that?
You know what is actually the real fake nice people?
What?
And by that, I mean people who are fake nice is the Midwest. The Midwest is also fake nice. They're passive aggressive. They're just like Canadians. They're friendly, but it doesn't mean they're nice.
Wait, so you think Canadians aren't friendly?
They're passive aggressive.
That's a crazy hot take.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. We'll ask Razor about it.
That's true.
No.
Where's Scal from now that I think about it?
Scal's a West Coast guy.
Yeah, Cali, I think.
There Cali spent
Those
some time
people
in
are
Seattle
just both
also.
Different.
Yep, that's true.
I've got no takes on the West Coasters.
No, South is more fake nice than Midwest.
Scal's from Long Beach.
Hi, y'all. That's like the fakest nice thing ever. You're not that excited. There's no way you're that excited to see me.
Bless your heart. That's the most passive.
That basically means F you.
Yeah, zero
when someone
chance.
Tells you bless your heart.
The old show, we decoded that. Bless your heart is actually a very, very, it's insulting, actually.
It's awful.
Yeah. What are you going to bless my heart for?
Yeah.
Plus, that doesn't even mean anything. You're going to bless my heart?
what was the line? Oh, that's an interesting baby. I think that's how we landed on bless your heart being mean.
Can I tell you, this was a wild and crazy bachelor
your
party.
Your baby's very interesting.
It was a wild and crazy bachelor party I was at this weekend. We were just gambling and drinking light beers, and then there was people watching the World Baseball Classic. But I was watching in the morning. We're all hungover from our, because we're not used to doing this.
Oh, cool.
And we're all hungover watching Seinfeld.
Pretty wild
bachelor party.
Cool.
And it was the one where Kramer says that the baby looks like Lyndon Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry has to go meet the baby, and Kramer's just like, they're like, who do you think it looks like? He's like, Lyndon Johnson. And I'll tell you, it hit for an almost 40-year-old hungover male who bet all his life savings. It was pretty good. Anyway, 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones. Levi's in Nashua. Go ahead, Levi.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to point something out about the Steve Belichick story.
Sure.
D-Mac made sure to point out who was in that safety room, and they were all veterans. Chung, McCourty, Harmon. That was probably the safest position room to coach and perfect for a new coach to start getting experience.
So, Levi, made this point earlier. Keep going, but I'm curious where you go with it because Mego made the same point.
I don't think those guys needed an expert coach to be good. So is it nepotism? Maybe. But it's also probably the safest place to put a new coach and give him experience actually coaching players.
Yeah, that's nepotism. Bill gave his kid the most favorable landing spot where his kid couldn't fail.
Yeah, the easiest landing spot.
But yeah. Like, how could you fail with the veterans in that room? That's how I would phrase that. I'd say Bill was looking out for his kid by putting him there where he might not be looking out for other. I mean, look, I think Bill is very high on Patricia and Judge, but like that was a spot where you could be set up to fail. Coaching Devin McCourty and Daron Harmon and who else is in that safety room?
Pat Chung and like, Nate Ebner was the other name he used.
Yeah. So, I mean, now that I'm saying them, it's not that great of a safety room. I mean, Chung and McCourty were good. Harmon was meh, and Ebner didn't even play safety.
Harmon was pretty good, I think.
Whatever, he's fine. But so, like, but, you know, it's just you're putting your kid in a favorable position because he's your kid, and he didn't deserve it. So that is nepotism. And by the way, that doesn't make Bill different from any other coach. But I think that's a knock on Bill. Bill being the same as every other coach, giving his kid preferential treatment, Bill's supposed to be the one above it and the one who does what's best for the team. Bill doesn't take feelings and emotions into his decisions, right? That's what you've been led to believe for 20 years. He just does what's best for the team. How is putting your kid in charge of the safeties what's best for the team, especially when there's people more qualified on your own staff? You want to get to some of Tom Curran?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's play these in the order we went through it, because there's a lot of good stuff from Tom Curran. He joins us every Thursday, although now I got to say most Thursdays, because I don't think he's back next Thursday.
Hey,
I think
we gotta, but it's our fault.
We got to put, well, yeah, because of the Sox opener, that's true. No, yeah, it's not like Curran's blowing the interview off or anything. But so we started off by asking, and I forget who asked this question. Mego, I believe?
It was Mego.
So Mego asked about Jerod Mayo maybe getting boxed out by Joe Judge. Are we going to hear the question here, Ryan? Maybe getting boxed out by Joe Judge, the Burt Breer report.
I know we're going to have more questions about Hopkins, but I want to ask you about this tweet from Albert Breer that came out before our show today, sure. In which he said Joe Judge will be an assistant head coach with the Patriots in 2023 with personnel elements, some parallels to Matt Patricia's 21 role. That piqued my interest because I'm thinking, if that's his title, what does that mean for Jerod Mayo's role in the organization and whatever title we might see them attach to him?
I don't think Jerod Mayo is going to get a title, and I don't think Jerod Mayo really cares whether or not he has a title. I think that when he agreed, and he has agreed, to stay, he would feel comfortable with the layout here in New England and his role going forward. Separately with Joe Judge, I think my smoking gun takeaway as to what happened last year and what will happen this year is they got him the hell away from the offense. So whether it's he can't work with Mac or Bill O'Brien doesn't need the assistance, how about you go over to special teams and we'll get you some contracts to sign and call people on. And if you still have coaching aspirations, you'll be able to put assistant head coach New England Patriots 2023 on your resume. To me, it is an honorific.
Okay, honorific is what he calls it, and I think that's interesting because it's more of a favor to Judge than a dig at Mayo, and Mayo's okay with all of it, is how Tom Curran kind of sets that up. Let's hear the rest of that answer. He kept going. Let's hear where he takes this, because I found this to be interesting as well.
Don't hold your breath on Jerod Mayo getting a title, is my feeling. One interesting aspect of that is, think about it, whatever title he got could conceivably limit his mobility if he was named, for instance, defensive coordinator, didn't like the way things went. Which I don't think is going to be the case. Didn't like the way things went. Somebody like Cleveland came around again and said, you want to be our defensive coordinator? Couldn't leave. So I think not having a title increases mobility. And that said, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Okay. Isn't that interesting? I don't think he's going anywhere, but the title may actually be limiting. Like almost like we're looking at it backwards. If you have the defensive coordinator title, he can't go take a lateral job. He's blocked to do that. So if things really fail this year, the lack of a title allows Jerod Mayo to go be a coordinator elsewhere. If he was going to be a head coach, then obviously he's moving up the food chain. He can't be blocked. But it's almost seen as a positive thing from Mayo's camp, and maybe this is spin, but it's a positive thing from Mayo's camp that he doesn't have the title. If he wants to get out, he can pull that ripcord and get out.
Now, I know everybody pretends like Bill doesn't care about how things appear to the outside or what the press thinks or what anyone's saying outside of the building. It's not true. He is tuned into all of it. But is it possible that by not assigning him to a specific area of the team, even though we all know Jerod's a linebacker's coach and a defensive guy, you can't assign blame. You can't put anything bad on Mayo's name going forward.
Yeah,
so
sure,
I
maybe.
Think about,
I
you
think
know,
it's,
like,
it's part of the reason he won't give his kid the defensive coordinator title, I think. Part of it.
See, I think it more goes back to what he did with Judge and Patricia. Not saying that that's going to be the case with Jerod Mayo. He comes from a completely different qualified background and is going hopefully into a different position that he is also qualified for. But maybe that's just keeps it from, if there's going to be a stain from anything, and failure keeps it off him specifically, and he's just, you don't really know exactly what he's doing.
So can I, Ryan, not to put you on the spot, can I hear the tail end of that again? Did he say he's not going anywhere, or I don't think he's going
anywhere?
Somebody
like Cleveland came around again and said, you want to be our defensive coordinator? Couldn't leave. So I think not having a title increases mobility. And that said, I don't think he's going anywhere.
I don't think he's going anywhere. Not he's not going anywhere. I don't think he's going anywhere. So Mayo may not be. I mean, look, we're going to get to another question about whether he's the coach in waiting. It's like Mayo's still emphasizing an exit strategy just in case is what I hear there. So I did ask, and I don't know if this was before or after that. I can't remember the order of these.
This was after.
After. I asked, is he the heir apparent to Bill Belichick here in New England?
Yeah. I think he is the heir apparent, stress apparent, because what could happen that would change it? I mean, does Bill win two Super Bowls and say, geez, I don't feel like going anywhere? Well, then apparently things have changed. But I think that it's apparent as well that the ownership did not want Gerard Mayo to go anywhere. And if anybody would feel as if he is having the team passed on to someone who would honor him because of who he is, it will be Gerard Mayo. I mean, it could be Steve Belichick.
Ugh.
Steve never played for Bill. Steve was never drafted by Bill. Steve never was an All-Pro or Defensive Rookie of the Year under Bill.
Never played in college.
Or courted and brought back. So I think that, you know, professionally, the step to Gerard would make even more sense than a familial one in terms of Bill and his lineage.
I didn't like that. I forgot how much I didn't like that in real time, actually, that he brought up Steve Belichick's name. Now, maybe it's Steve Belichick's in the news, right? Like we were talking about it just earlier this segment. We were talking about earlier in the show. I didn't like that at all. I made it clear that Mayo might make more sense than Steve Belichick, but he also made it clear, I thought, that Steve Belichick is in that mix somewhere. I don't like that.
I don't know if it's attached to this, but Devin McCourty on the Greenlight podcast, that's what Chris Long's pod is called,
yes.
Right? Greenlight pod?
Greenlight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said something similar. He didn't say that Steve Belichick could be a head coach in New England, but he said that he feels like he could be a head coach in the league.
Ugh.
That's how that whole conversation started. McCourty was heaping lots of praise on Gerard Mayo.
So that's why
but
Long
then he
followed
turned
up.
And he followed up and said, wild card guy, I think Steve Belichick could also ascend to that someday.
That actually answers a question. I thought it was kind of like a planted question. But okay, so they were talking about that and Long followed up. I did not listen to the full interview.
I don't think that's that crazy, honestly. I mean, it's, you know, you're talking about a defense that was really good and he was calling the plays for, and it's not like...
Would you hire him?
No, I probably wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
I think I'm not in NFL circles where Bill Belichick still has a lot of influence, and I think that matters.
He shouldn't.
Well, okay.
Everybody, Mike Shanahan
and Kyle Shanahan, I mean, that guy's been a great coach. Buddy Ryan and all his kids, they were all coaches.
But
like, it's not like it's the first time this has happened.
But, like, I'm sure Shanahan, I'd have to go look at Shanahan's coaching tree. I'm sure he had a couple of hits somewhere on the coaching tree.
Well, that's a good point.
Bill's whole coaching tree sucks, and now I got to hire his kid? No. So anyway, but you don't think the Steve Belichick thing would be crazy here?
No.
Ugh.
I don't.
I mean, it probably isn't crazy, but ugh. Let me emphasize that again.
I don't think I'd like it, but it wouldn't be crazy.
Ugh. But okay, he's the heir apparent. And this also caught my ear. I'm like, wait a minute. So I've listened to a lot of the Patriots Talk podcast with Tom Curran, and he's been saying lately 25 to 30 million, although I guess he told you guys this a while back, you said, Mego. That's what Bill makes a year, 25 to 30 million.
Yeah, he said, I believe in that.
Yeah, ballpark. Right. Like, I mean, I don't know if he knows the exact number.
I don't know if it was exact. It's definitely more than 20 million.
But him and Phil did a podcast the other day where Phil says, I don't know, he makes 20 million a year. And Tom pointed to the sky. He's like, more. Tom said in a recent one, we played the clip, 25 to 30 million. So I'm like, okay, well, Tom's got some idea of what he makes, or at least he feels confident ballparking it. I wondered if Tom had any idea how much longer Bill would want to do it for, because, like, maybe Bill's contract only runs for another year or two, and the Crafts don't have to fire Bill. Bill's contract is up, and Gerard Mayo could just step right in. So I asked Tom, how much longer is the contract?
I can't answer that with any authority. I can only read the tea leaves, and I can only read what the calendar says. I mean, he's going to be 73. He's within 18 wins of Shula. I do think that's important to him. I do think that since 2019, if it goes to 2024, it will be 2020, 21, 5 years. And in 2 years, it'll be 5 years post-Brady. We'll see what the record is. We'll see how many times they went to the playoffs. Bill will be, at that point, 74. And he can move upstairs and be a consultant, a Parcells godfather type position. I would, if I was putting odds, I would say Bill is going to coach until the end of 2024.
Okay. Putting odds. He made it clear he doesn't know, but Tom knows a lot of stuff. He's plugged in. He says 2024, and I think it's interesting that it's 5 years from Brady. Like, doesn't that sound like a contract?
Yeah.
Tom Brady's gone. We'll sign you to a 5-year deal. Like, doesn't that kind of sound like a contract? That's just like an, 5, 10 years, like that sort of stuff sounds like a contract. So, I don't know. I just found that interesting. That caught my ear. And it
especially,
also,
especially if the Crafts are so hell bent on keeping Gerard Mayo around right now, making sure he doesn't jump to anywhere else.
There can't be much time left,
right? It feels like there is that question on the horizon of who is it going to be next.
Right, which means there can't be much time left on the deal, a year or two. I mean, that was my instinct before asking the question, but I hadn't thought about 5 years from Brady. That, to me, sounds like a contract. Hey, Bill, all right, Brady's gone. 5 years. You got 5 years. We're signing you for 5 more years.
Oh, boy.
And then it's 2024, and we'll see. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Rick in Maine. This is an important one. Go ahead, Rick.
Hello. I'd just like to comment on Megan's comment about New England or Northeast being so mean and negative.
Yeah.
I'm a sports fan. I always have been, New England guy. I traveled to Seattle on a business trip, and I tried to poke people and get them riled up about the Super Bowl, the Malcolm Butler Super Bowl, and I couldn't get a rise out of them at all. They're like, oh, yeah, it was a great play. Oh,
yeah, they don't care. They were like, remember Nirvana.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, well, it's I guess
okay, so it sounds like you were spreading the meanness.
I was trying to stir the pot out there in Seattle there,
I was trying to kick a hornet's nest.
Wouldn't take the bait there,
Speaking of a hornet's nest, there was one out in the barn last week. I ran inside and I said, hey, Martha, there's hornets out there. Get me my broom. So
little bugger stung me right in the cheek.
Martha, the barn's on fire.
Good Lord.
What is it? I didn't even know the reference. But okay. New Englanders are mean.
It's okay.
Fine.
I've gotten meaner too.
Yeah, good.
I said this on the old show.
You probably become a better person.
Being mean is funny.
It is funny.
It is funny.
And it's fun.
Okay, it's fun.
Let's just
it's
be honest.
Funny.
It's fun. It's
funny
not
to be mean.
It's not fun to be nice.
That's why Ted Lasso isn't funny.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's not mean enough.
That show can't possibly be funny. Too nice. Too nice. Got to be mean. Anyway, it's been the theme of really weeks worth of this show. But
you mean to tell me New England sports fans are arrogant? Never heard that. What are you talking about?
The show today? Yeah,
I didn't say that.
Wow, people in the Pacific Northwest don't give two craps. Wow, I had no idea. Wow. 617-779-7937.
Unshakable, those people,
You can jump in line for Rich Keefe. He comes your way at the top of the hour. We have Endgame next.
Jones and Mego return after this on WEEI.
Y'all want to play a f***ing game?
Game over, man. Game over.
You little punk.
All right, it's time for Endgame, which is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Don't waste time trying to get rid of your old or broken car. Cars for Kids is the easiest and fastest way to donate your car and get a tax deduction. Go to carsforkids.org today. That's cars with a K and the number 4. I should say before we start this.
Well, real quick, before you get into controversy, RK.
Okay.
I do just want to tell the people that if your bracket is busted, oh, well, no big whoop. If you still want to be in on the action, follow WEEI and the Odyssey app to unlock 2 months of free betting insights. Two from BetQL. Get expert betting trends, modeled best bets, public money line movement, and more. That's a good one to follow, by the way. Simply download the Odyssey app, create an account, follow WEEI, and unlock your 2-month free trial of BetQL. Yes, Arkan, you have an accusation to levy?
Before we start, we had a tiebreaker yesterday about the total points Jalen Brown has scored this season. Jones, you guessed, in his career, I'm sorry, not this season, in his career. Jones, you guessed 11,000, that was way over. Megan guessed a very specific number, 8,247, which I was surprised was very, very close to the actual number.
Good job, Mega.
I'm surprised Arkan's still going here.
The actual number, 8,275.
After what he did earlier in the show, he's really, speaking of poking hornet's nests,
but
my goodness.
She said 8,247, which if you add 28 to that, which is, I believe, how many points Jalen Brown scored two nights ago, you get exactly 8,275. And I'm not, I don't want to cast aspersions here.
No,
I just
don't
believe that Megan Ottolini, as brilliant as she is, was able to randomly guess the exact number minus the amount that Brown scored in that last game of points that he scored in his career.
So
I declare shenanigans.
Yeah, too long didn't read. Yes. Mego's a cheater, is what
I think
he's
he cheated, yes.
Wow.
I declare shenanigans.
Brian, you're going to have to drop me. I absolutely swear on my dog's life I did not cheat.
Your dog's never going to know that you did that. That doesn't
we
mean
haven't talked about this on air. Jones doesn't even know about this. We've talked about it because we're friends, mm-hmm. or I thought we were.
Our friendiversary's coming up.
You know.
Wow. Oh, no friendiversary for you this year.
You just
tainted it with shenanigans.
Sometimes wow. I'm a little bit psychic, yep. and that's what happened yesterday.
I just did quick math.
Shenanigans!
I think I did 80 times 7 times 20,
mm-hmm.
I believe was my math. I said, he's been in the league, what, like 7 years? Is that even right? 80 games, like 20 points a night? That's how I came up with my math.
Do you believe that she just guessed the exact number exactly right? Do you believe that that happened without any shenanigans?
Yes.
Okay. Ryan?
You watched me.
Yes, I believe.
Did I look like I was over here like...
I have never known Megan Ottolini to be a liar. Ever.
You guys are both being ridiculous right now. You both are. You think she randomly guessed the exact number?
Mm-hmm. I do, yes. I
down
do.
To the, okay.
Good
all right,
job,
fine.
Mega.
Yeah, let's great. Go to Endgame.
Thank you.
I mean, she covers the team after
Mego,
all.
Thank
Mego,
you for the vote of confidence.
Mego got the win yesterday.
Okay.
That's a Mego win. She got the tiebreaker.
She won.
How dare
she
you,
She did
Arcan.
Win. I'm just saying.
Arcan, how dare you?
It's very suspicious.
Seriously.
All right. Here's our first question. All right. Here's our first question.
You know what? I'm not competing today. That's it.
All right, fine. Leave. You're going to cheat again anyway.
You're with
Well, first, let's see what the first
All right, here's your first question. After Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci, this Bruins centerman the most points on the team among centermen.
I'm not competing on principle.
I'm sorry, it was Bergeron, what? Bergeron
after
Krejci?
Bergeron and Krejci, yeah. This is the highest scoring Bruins centerman on the team.
Oh, yeah, centerman. That is the Canadian way to say it.
That's right.
Hey.
Kick your butt. C-E-N-T-R-E.
RE for sure. Hey, kick your bucket off. Kick your bucket off. Let's see that lettuce there, eh?
See the flow there.
Yeah, see the flow.
Looking Ooh, nice looking out. Flow there.
Looking good out there, yeah.
Hey.
All right. After Patrice Bergeron and
let
David
me
Krejci.
Think for
oh
a minute,
good.
Please.
Let her look up the answer again like she
I'm
did
not
yesterday.
Looking anything up.
After Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci, this Bruins centerman. Has the most points on the team. Who could it be?
Who could it be?
Some options there.
I have a very confident answer that I've written down.
At least three.
I know it, but I don't know it. So I'm writing another name down, and I know this isn't it.
Okay.
But I know it.
What do we think, Arcan?
We ready? Okay, here we go.
Wait.
Hold on. Page is still loading.
I'm putting a different one. Okay, put a different one.
After Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci, this Bruin is the centerman with the most points on the team. Jones?
Oh, Charlie Coyle.
Charlie Coyle is wrong.
Is it?
Wrong. It's wrong.
I put Charlie Coyle, but I crossed out my original answer.
What was your original answer?
Trent Frederick.
That's also wrong. The correct answer is Pavel Zacha.
He's not
Pavel
a centerman. That doesn't count.
Sure he is.
No, he's not.
He's a centerman listed on
That's such a stupid, weaselly thing to do. Such a weasel.
He did play center the other night when Krejci was out. So, I mean, but he's not. That's not where he plays, Arcan.
I think he's going to play D tonight.
I care what he's listed as.
Okay.
Hi, caramba.
Here's question two. Before Steve Belichick went to Rutgers, he was an all-league honorable mention selection in lacrosse during his senior year at this Massachusetts ISL high school.
High school?
High school.
Oh, Christ.
I got waitlisted at this high school.
What?
I did.
We played this high school in basketball, and they smoked us 1 year.
I can't wait to get, like, this it won't even be an ISL school, and I can't wait for all the hardos to start yelling at me that I don't even know who's in the ISL. Like, I can't wait for that.
Let me think about this. I have one, but I don't really like it. Fine, I'll write this. I don't really know the boys' lacrosse that well in this area, I'll be honest.
I can't believe Arcan's giving us trick questions and it wasn't Charlie Coyle.
You know why?
You're an ass. I can't believe he's trying to throw that on my name.
I can't believe you guessed the exact number right, so I guess we're all blown away today, all right? Good for all of us.
Honestly, I'm pretty level. Steady Eddie, that's me.
Honestly, this is the right... This last, like, 5 minutes has been the right amount of hatred on this show. This has been good.
Pretty good.
Like, this is what we've been lacking. Like, this is good. This is good. Okay, I guessed a long time ago.
All right, here's the question once again. Before Steve Belichick went to Rutgers, he was all-league honorable mention in lacrosse during his senior year at this Massachusetts ISL high school. Megan.
Oh, I think you're right. I wrote Thayer.
Thayer is wrong. It's an ISL school. It's wrong. What did you say?
I don't know what the hell
I wrote.
ISL?
I wrote Rivers. Is Rivers ISL?
Rivers is correct.
Wow.
Rivers is right.
Wow.
ISL is the independent school league. All right, here we go.
Whatever.
The third question.
Oh, I'm sorry. What is Thayer in?
It's in the ISL, too.
Yep.
He just said, I don't know what ISL is.
You said
I don't know what ISL is.
School.
Right. But then you just said, I don't know what ISL is.
I don't.
Yeah, because
you
said
independent school league.
I said Thayer, and you said it's an ISL school.
Right.
You were saying that Thayer's not an ISL
school.
No,
he was confirming that it is.
I was saying, yes, that's an ISL school, but it's not the right one, is what I was saying. Jesus. God. All right. Question three. On July 12th, 1896, 45,000 people showed up for the opening of this Massachusetts beach, the first public beach in the United States.
Crap. This one I know. This one I know, but I don't know.
I got it.
Like, I'm going to hear it and be like.
I think Megan's got it.
If I don't got it, I got the other one.
What year?
1896. July 12th, 1896. Opening day, 45,000 people showed up.
Got it. Got it. I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
Looks like they both got it. That was opening of this beach in Massachusetts, the first public beach in the United States. What beach did you two write?
Revere
Beach is correct, which means... Oh, no, we don't have a tie because Jones got the second one. So we don't have to do the tiebreaker.
Builds the anticipation. He rips it away from you.
Yep. Sorry about that. Jones wins. Congratulations, Jones.
Good
well
job,
done.
Jones.
I feel like this was a tense end game. This is as tense as it's been.
It definitely was.
But I do like it. I do like it.
I didn't even get to drop in when you read something and Arcan wasn't listening. Then he just said it to you and you snapped at him.
What? Waitman averaged 46.6 yards per punt last year in Denver. He also had a brief midseason stint on the Pats practice squad. In 2021. Don't remember that.
He was on the Pats practice squad a couple years ago.
Oh, did you know he was on the Pats practice squad? Yeah, I just read it.
Now it's the perfect amount of hate.
There we go.
Good. Good.
Oh, well, I got to listen to everything he says. Blathering on and on the whole show. I got to listen to everything.
I mean, that a couple is, strings, throw a couple is, levers.
That is admittedly
hey,
difficult.
Hey, Keefe's next.
Rich Keefe is here. Rich Keefe is next. Give him a call. 617-779-7937. And we are back tomorrow for a Friday at 2 o'clock here on WEEI.
You're an ass.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.